Time now to look through the window of baseball. Brought to us by Truett & White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows. Our good friends Mark Pearsall, Mike Garrison, and Josh Swift will be down here this weekend. And always a pleasure to have them sponsor this segment of the show, which brings in Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Bruce, how are you today?
Good, Marty. What's going on?
Well, not too much. You know what it's like. It's another day in paradise as we get ready to see the second performance of Matt Cain today. And you were there. We sat there and watched his first. Well, what did you take away from it?
Well, it was great. I mean, it was breezy. He threw strikes. Nobody got on base. It was just an economical, nice performance. You didn't see him, like, raising his arm or walking out around behind the mound. He was ready to go. You know, he looks very good. Nothing negative to take away from that, for sure. If he has another one of those today, you're really feeling good about his spot in the rotation.
Yeah, the one thing about spring training, again, I don't put much stock in anything. I did the batting averages of the first six or seven for the Giants. And, you know, everything's at 2-for-14.
Yeah.
But the injured guys coming back, that's what you like to see. You like to see them take their turn or hit in the box. And Cain really fits that to a T.
Yeah, he does. He'd been saying that all along, that, how great he feels. He feels like a teenager, and it's proving to be the case. You know, sometimes you wind up seeing the complete opposite. And, Angel Pagan looks like he's come all the way back, too. These are guys you're going to need if anything's going to happen this season.
Boy, absolutely. Now, the Dodger game, when we sat there, any take on the Dodgers at all? Did you feel anything different about them, the team on the field? It's Rollins and Kendrick. We got to see pretty much the whole starting team.
Yeah, that was interesting. They put the A1 guys out there. They don't have quite as much swagger as they used to when you see Kemp and Hanley Ramirez on the field. I think Puig probably takes care of a lot of that all by himself. And sure enough, he hit a home run off Vogelsong on a breaking ball, 3-2 breaking ball. It was really impressive. But, you know, I like the team. I don't think they're going to win 98 games and run away with the division. But Rollins and Kendrick give that middle infield a lot of stability. I think the pitchers are going to enjoy having Rollins behind them a lot more than Hanley Ramirez, who has his liabilities at short. Second base was kind of up in the air, just D. Gordon and some of the kids going to take over. Now you got Howie Kendrick, who's a 290, 300 hitter there. And, Kershaw and Greinke and Ryu, and if McCarthy and Anderson, a couple of the old Oakland guys, four or five guys in the rotation, if they're good to go all year, yeah, it's good. They're definitely right there.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I thought they looked a little calmer for some reason. I know it's spring training. Everybody looks calm. But I thought they looked a little bit different, but without D. Gordon in there. But the Puig-Vogelsong confrontation, that was like almost mid-season form. Vogelsong had the look. You know, he's got the Dave Stewart death stare on the mound, and Puig just didn't back off, and he didn't miss his pitch.
No, and I think we were sitting right next to each other right then.
Yes.
He threw him a couple of real good, lively fastballs. One of them should have been a strike. He took it, and then he came back with another one. And Puig took that one as well, and it was a strike. And he didn't look like he was quite ready for that. But on 3-2, he hung the breaking ball, and that's always going to be curtains. But, you know, the next time around, it'll be different. I mean, those are two of the best competitors you're going to see.
You know, it's funny. Someone pointed this out to me today. You know, it's spring training. I said it earlier in the show. And you have all these split squad games. And really, Texas sent people over yesterday. I didn't hear of anybody except for Joey Callow, who, believe me, I now know who he is.
Oh, yeah.
Bruce, this guy hit a ball at 480 feet, I swear. He just a monster.
My God.
But people pay the money, and nobody really complains. They're just thrilled to be here. They don't care who the team sends over.
It's kind of bittersweet. I've never really liked the split squad idea. For one thing, if you're covering the team, you're not seeing half of what's going on. Or if you're just down there following the team and you want to see them day by day. If you go out hoping to see, Posey and Crawford and Belt and all your guys, and you're not seeing them, it's a disappointment. But at the same time, you're seeing guys that obviously mean something to the organization, or they wouldn't be at spring training. And maybe you see some guy, dead pull a rope down the line off a pretty good pitch, and it sticks in your mind, or makes a great play. Then you've got a little bit more info on him than you did before. So it can be really instructive if you look at it that way.
Yeah, I like it. And you got to be up on every team. You have to have the baseball prospect book and memorize it, to see the people that are playing. But, you know, some of the top, you know, and there's so much on TV, the top 100, top 50 prospects that are constantly telling you that. So when you see a guy like Joey Callow from my cousin Vinny out there, that's Joey Gallo. No.
Yeah, but with a G, but he just, I mean,
it was a lot of fun to see that. Hey, looking at what happened this week, I know you were back in the Bay Area, but Will Ferrell had this whole thing on Thursday. Did you follow that at all?
You know, I really didn't. I think he's a funny guy, and I mean, I watched, you know, a highlight package on ESPN that was pretty good, where they could just condense it down to the best parts, the good helicopter landings, a couple funny lines, and he obviously is not a disgrace on the field. He has a decent stroke. He can throw, and I just, you know, I hope it doesn't start a trend. Next thing you know, there's Kevin Hart, and I don't know, maybe Jim Carrey, or who knows? I mean. You don't want to make a travesty of it, but it was a fun day. It was a good idea. The players seemed to like it, and you know, I have no real objection to it, but I certainly wasn't, you know, glued to the action.
No, and he ended up, you know, almost barely getting in the Giant game. You know, he caught an intentional walk, then they traded him to the White Sox after that. But it's fine to listen to the HBO people because, you know, the part of it, we had it with Showtime after the 10 World Series. Remember, Showtime was down here, and they kind of ran everything. This HBO crowd, you know, was the bottom in the eighth inning, and they wanted the game to stop because he wasn't here yet, and the HBO crowd was on the freeway trying to get here. They wanted the game. There's one out, and they said, leave the field. We need the game to stop.
Of course,
they didn't do that, and they barely, you know, but it was one of those moments, you know, where they tried to take over the whole thing. But I'm with you. You know, it's interesting. It's for a good cause, college for cancer, you know, for young people trying to go to college and who have been afflicted with that. So it was a good cause, and Will Ferrell, one of his best friends, went through this with his daughter. So
that's the important element to remember. But, you know, people tend to think that spring training is just fun and games, and, oh, gosh, here comes Billy Crystal hitting for the Yanks and all this stuff. But it's really deadly serious for most of the guys out there. Some of them, it's like, you know, their lives are about to change for one way or the other. So you don't want too much of this kind of intervention.
No, Garth Brooks used to do it. They had fun with him. I haven't seen too many down here doing it since then. Bruce Jenkins with us. Of course, we look through the window of baseball. I'm sort of on a sad note today. One of the listeners just sent me an email telling me that Al Rosen passed away today.
Oh, geez, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, on Friday. Well, actually not today, but last night. So I was told that, and we confirmed it here with Brian Sabian, and indicated it was true. So maybe some of your thoughts on the great Al Rosen, who was general manager of the Giants, general manager of the Yankees, great third baseman for the Indians, a great spokesman for Judaism and baseball and things like that.
Yeah, I always go back to his playing days in the 50s. As a Jewish player, he took an awful lot of heat. In those days, it was pretty severe. You know, and there hadn't been many great Jewish players. You know, Hank Greenberg came before him, but it was very tough. And, you know, this was a tough as a prize fighter kind of guy. And he didn't just fight through that. He was the MVP, I think, one year. A tremendous RBI guy on those great Cleveland teams. And, you know, as an executive, you know, he presided over some of the Giants' better moments. You know, he was behind that whole drive to make Candlestick as valuable as we can, Roger Craig and Humbaby and, you know, Will Clark. And you think about a lot of great moments when you think about Al Rosen. And, you know, he was a tough, kind of a tough interview sometimes, but and kind of a crusty guy. But if you got him in the right moment, he was a great storyteller. He had all kinds of memories and had a long, rich life in baseball.
Yeah, very special man. Almost a Triple Crown winner in 53.
Yeah.
And lost on his last at-bat that he was called out at first base on a very controversial bang-bang play. And he always told me, he says, I was out. He never took the bitter side of it. And a lot of people thought it was, you know, sort of a prejudiced call at first base. And I think Mickey Vernon ended up winning the batting title or something like that. But a great man, really a great man. So I'm sorry to hear it. And again, I haven't confirmed it other than through one of the executives here, but I did see him in Palm Desert about a month ago when we did a Willie Mays event, and it didn't look good. So very, very special guy in Giants history as well as baseball history. So I'm glad that you and I got a chance to comment on it. One other thing about the Will Ferrell event, it is not an every-year event, but it did commemorate Campy Campanaris doing this 50 years ago.
Yes, well, yeah. I mean, that was... that was for real. I mean, Campy, you know, played every position during a nine-inning game. And, you know, he did it with dignity. I mean, he's a very prideful man. There's no way he would have gone out there if he felt like he was going to embarrass himself at any position, you know, like pitching or catching or shortstop. But he was a shortstop. You know, that's the gimmicks are great when everybody has a good time. Nothing goes wrong. Nobody's stuck in the freeway, you know. And that was a lot of fun. And it's, I think Buster Posey, I'm not sure if he did that in one game or he did it during the course of a season at Florida State.
Yeah,
played every position, and you know, he obviously you can imagine him pitching with no problem. He had a little more quickness than he was an able shortstop, and I mean, he was actually a closer at times for them, but he really could and had played all the positions. It wasn't like any of them was a mystery, except maybe right field, which is, you know, you can go out there and do that if you're a good athlete. So
yeah. Well, it was a fundraiser.
Special skills, yeah, and if you do it in conjunction with a charity, then it's just it's really a fine thing.
Yeah, one last thought on that, Campy, and I know Campy. I was honored to present Campy at the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame. I did the speech for him when he got inducted, and we talked about the nine positions, and of course, catching was his last one. And Ed Kirkpatrick, member of the Angels, was on third base and tagged up in a sacrifice fly, and knocked Campy into next week. I mean, really,
I mean,
just knocked him into next week into the hospital. I think he held on to the ball, but that was the way the nine positions ended for Campy. And,
oh, my goodness.
So I was wondering if Farrell was going to have anyone on third base and reenact that, but I don't think that was going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to put him in that position. Campy was a really tough guy. I saw him at spring training, and it brought back to mind what a little guy he was. And he hit 20 homers one year.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was a real cog in those fantastic A's teams, about as great a teams as you would ever want to see, 72 through 74. And, you know, your shortstop's the anchor, and he was that guy. And
I think he's close to the Hall of Famer. I know he's not in, but, boy, you could make a real good argument for him.
Well, yeah, you could. I mean, he was a winner. He played on winning teams. He rolled up some good stats. He was respected. He had the one incident with Laron Legros that might have hurt him a little bit when Legros brushed him back. It was the A's and the Tigers. Billy Martin was managing the Tigers. Everybody was on edge. And Campy just wheeled around, grabbed his bat, and hurled it right at his head. And that thing was sailing dead on target. I mean, oh, my God.
Helicopter. I
mean, yeah, helicoptering his way toward the Laron Legros' head. And it was one of those, like a Juan Marichal incident where you go, geez, you know, I think Marichal, you couldn't keep him out. He was so great. That might have hurt Campy a little bit, but he's one of those Ron Santo kind of right on the fringes, and Santo finally did get in, but we'll see.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Bruce, thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Again, we'll be at 3 o'clock for us as game time. We'll talk to you about 2 o'clock tomorrow.
I'm envious you're down there, but I'll be here, and we'll do it again.
All right. Thanks, Bruce.
Thanks,
always
Marty.
A pleasure. All right. That's Bruce Jenkins. More coming up right here on the Sports Leader.